The family of a LaSalle Veterans Home resident is mourning after their loved one died of COVID-19 in the state-run nursing home.
I understand that, unfortunately, that, you know, what happens with this virus, but I think that is what gets to us the most, is that he was alone.
That's Lindsay Lamb, whose grandfather died of COVID-19 at the Veterans Home. I'm Daniel Musisi, and this is WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio.
Support for WCBU's On Deck comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WCBU.org.
Today is Tuesday, February 9th, and this is WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio. With Illinois' return to Phase 4, that means it's time to hit the ice again. WCBU correspondent Mike Rundle heads to the Owen Center to check in.
Owen Center is back open for business, and the Peoria Park District is keeping their fingers crossed that this reopening will set the tone for the year ahead. With Illinois' COVID-19 mitigation measures now rolled back, public skate at limited capacity is once again an option for those looking to get back on the ice. Owen Center had been closed since November, and missing the financial boost they normally see around the holidays was tough, says General Manager Doug Silberer.
Making the ice and keeping it running is an expensive proposition for the district, so you know, we need every little bit of programming we can offer. So when we can't offer our public skates, our normal learn to skate program, or public skating, that really puts a big hit on us.
The Peoria Park District has been dealing with COVID-19 in a variety of ways, from scaling back programming to reorganizing staff. Executive Director Emily Cahill is hoping that they'll be able to use this time of uncertainty to assess the role the Park District plays in the community and make new plans to reach those areas that need their resources the most.
Prior to the pandemic, our job was solely focused on getting as many people together in a space to do something fun together. It seems like really scary right now, and I think it'll be a while before people are ready to come back to that, you know, 10,000 people jammed together on the riverfront.
Going forward, Cahill is also planning to revisit the Park District's lineup of programming with the goal of making their operations more efficient.
If we have limited resources, we want to make sure that what we are providing is unique, it's high quality, and that if it is something that's duplicated somewhere else, that we offer it because it is makes it accessible on an equity level so that we're able to serve people who might otherwise not be able to access that program.
From the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, the Park District has taken measures in their offices and facilities to combat the spread of the virus, from daily wellness checks to enhanced cleaning protocols. But when it comes to the vaccine rollout, they do not plan to require employees to be vaccinated in order to work. Despite the challenges being faced across the district, Cahill is excited to see the development of new ways to better serve the area. COVID-19 has pushed every business to think on their feet, and she says that the Park District is no different.
We just really look forward to continuing to evolve to meet the changing needs of our community. And certainly COVID has pushed us to really think about those things faster than we normally do as a public body. But it's a real opportunity for us to be a part of the positive and the great things that are happening in our community.
To stay up to date on the Peoria Park District's programming and COVID-19 policies, visit their website at peoriaparks.org. I'm Mike Rundle.
Lawyers representing some of the families who lost relatives after a COVID-19 outbreak at the LaSalle Veterans Home are preparing to file their lawsuit. Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco spoke with one family.
Lindsay Lamb's grandfather, Richard Seske Sr., died in November. He was one of the more than 30 residents at the LaSalle Veterans Home to contract COVID-19 and die from the outbreak there. Lamb says she was close to her grandfather.
We always laugh. He was a big schmoozer. He was a big flirt. He was a big family man. His family was everything to him. His wife was everything to him.
About 7 years ago, Seske's health started to decline. He had dementia. When it became too much to care for him on their own, the family decided that Richard move to the veterans' home. Seske's wife, Bernie, came to visit him every day. She'd help him get ready for meals and spend time with him. But Lamb says that stopped when the state went into lockdown due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It wasn't until June that Seske's family could come visit him. And when they did, the visits had a window between them.
He didn't understand why my grandma couldn't show any affection towards him and couldn't hug him or touch him. And he started to think that, like, we didn't love him anymore.
Lamb says the 7 months leading up to Seske's death were lonely for him. But Lamb says her grandpa was lucky because the nurses and the nursing assistants had a soft spot for him. Around the beginning of November, Lindsay Lamb says her mom, Leslie Lamb, got a text message to check on him.
I called the nurse's station and they said they were just down there and he was fine. So then we got the FaceTime. He appeared to have a stroke. I mean, it was heartbreaking because he couldn't talk.
So mom, we hung up with him, of course, and mom called the nurse's station again and asked that the in-house doctor go visit him and check him out because we knew that something was wrong.
So she went down there and then she called me back and said that, yes, he has tested positive for COVID and they were going to move him to the COVID wing then.
Saskia was in the COVID-19 wing for about a week. Then his family got the call.
The doctor called back and said, he's close, so you need to come and say your goodbyes.
And I brought a bottle of Windex and paper towels to wipe the window down so we could see him clearly. And we made a poster that says, we love you, Dad. And we signed everybody's names. And to our surprise, we were expecting to go and, you know, say our goodbyes.
And he was sitting up in this wheelchair, flirting with the nurses, laughing, joking with us, calling us all by our nicknames. More concerned with the fact that we were outside in the cold and not in there with him.
After he saw all of us, he passed away in the middle of the night. And I think he was waiting for all of us to come and see him.
Long-term care facilities have been particularly hard hit. The outbreak and deaths at the facility prompted the Illinois Senate Veterans Affairs Committee to call for virtual hearings in November. Some of the findings included staff not wearing personal protective equipment or practicing social distancing, and sanitizer at the front entrance that wasn't alcohol-based. In December, amid outrage over the handling of the outbreak at the LaSalle Veterans Home, Governor Pritzker fired the director of the facility. Then, the head of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs resigned. For Lindsay Lamb, it's hard to think about the months her granddad spent relatively alone.
I understand that, unfortunately, that's what happened with this virus, but I think that is what gets to us the most, is that he was alone.
The law firm representing Siski's family says they're currently representing 16 different families who lost relatives at the facility. I'm Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco.
And that was Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco speaking with the family of the late Richard Sesky Sr. Thanks for choosing WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio. I'm Daniel Musisi. Okay, before we let you go, we've only got a couple more days to get you in the loop. This Thursday is WCBU's inaugural Radio Faces event. Don't miss your opportunity to meet and quiz NPR's Aisha Roscoe and Scott Detrow about reporting from Washington. Time is running out to get your ticket. You only need one per household, and they're available now at WCBU.org.